So blessed to come together and to spend time looking into God's Word. If you think about yourself as a ship, think about your life as a ship, as a big boat, there's no safer place than to be than in the harbour. The harbour is a safe place where the storms can do very little damage. And we'd all like to think that we're safe, safe in the harbour. But you know, a ship is not built to stay in the harbour. It is built to traverse the seas. And as we leave the harbour then, we are at the mercy of the storms of life. One of the most effective defence mechanisms that we have as a ship against the storms, the treacherous storms, is our anchor. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that we have an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And that anchor is securely holding on to hope. It is embedded into hope, the eternal and secure foundation that Jesus has saved us. We've been thinking about that this morning. So as we traverse the seas of life, we come into both calm waters, times of real calm waters, but we also come into troubled seas where we might need to vigorously hold on to the anchor. As we thought about Jonah last week, and thank you, Kate, for such a challenging word about our unrecognised prejudice, we saw that Jonah's faith and hope was not secure in a sovereign God who had love and compassion for all people. You see, for Jonah, he wanted God to fit into his own box, into his own plans, his own biases and intolerances, blessing him and the Hebrew people, but don't bless anybody else. And so this morning we continue this nautical theme as we consider the importance of a good anchor amidst the storms of life. You know, there are times in life, and some of you have been through these times, perhaps some of you are going through this kind of a time right now, when you have become so burdened with the stormy blast that all you can see is the trouble, the relationship breakdown, the financial struggle, the sickness or disease, the grief of losing a loved one. Any of these kinds of things all can loom too large, and the trouble is all that we see. And we can't seem to think beyond today and the here and now. If you're not in that position now, do you remember a time when it was like that? We don't entertain any thoughts for a better tomorrow because the struggle is just all-encompassing. We forget to hold on to the hope that we have for a better day ahead. All we can cope with is what we're facing today. Thus God says to us in Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. What is this anchor? Is it all about perseverance? We throw out the anchor and then hold on to it as tight as we can. Thus we need to be determined and persevere if we are to survive the storms of life and be successful. Well, perseverance is a part of it. At the time of his death in February 2000, this man's work appeared in 2,600 newspapers around the world. And it was the basis of a franchise earning $1 billion a year. This is back in 2000. Charles Schulz, an American cartoonist, the creator of the comic strip Peanuts, and you'd know his two most famous characters, Charlie Brown and Snoopy. There's a whole bunch of other characters in his cartoons. He's been widely regarded as the most influential cartoonist in history. But ironically, Charles' work should never have been noticed. He learnt his trade through a correspondence school and he received a C in the drawing of children. This tall, skinny outsider was a lousy student at school, and it gives you great hope, Nathan, for the kids you're teaching. This lousy, skinny outsider, a lousy student at school, and he was often discouraged. He went on through determination and perseverance to worldwide fame, and Charles, if you didn't know, was a Christian. Might give you a different look at his cartoons from this point on as you read them, if you know that he's a Christian. The benefits of a good anchor or success in the Christian life, however, is not all about our effort. It's not all about perseverance, but we do need to persevere through the trials. However, we're not left to do it alone. God is with us by the Holy Spirit, and it is the role of the Holy Spirit to sustain us, to encourage us, to comfort us, to guide us. We also have his word, the Bible, to read and meditate upon and find strength and encouragement. And so we do need to persevere. We do need to stand firm. And Jesus encouraged his disciples to stand firm to the end. He said in Mark 13:13, "Everyone will hate you. Everyone will hate you because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." So to endure the storms of life, we do need to persevere. And our salvation is dependent to some degree on our perseverance. You see, at the beginning of this chapter, Hebrews 6, go back to verse 4, the writer says this: "It is impossible for those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the coming age, who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance." Although nothing is impossible for God, and no one, I believe, is beyond his reach, the writer suggests that as a Christian, having been enlightened and shared in the Holy Spirit, having tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the heavenly gift, and considered the wonders of the age to come, can lose their salvation. Is our salvation dependent upon our best efforts to stand firm and persevere? Now, I don't want to get into the whole Calvinism, Arminianism debate, because I actually think that I take a bit of both. The important thing for us to really hold on to is, do not take your salvation for granted. Do not take your salvation for granted. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you." You see, the anchor holds both ways. We hold on to God, and he's holding on to us. We throw out the anchor, and it drags along the seabed until it hooks into the reef, and it stands firm. The reef then is holding the ship from destructive forces by means of the anchor. The anchor is of little use without a strong reef or a rocky outcrop. As we abide in him, Jesus promised that he will abide with us. He is the vine, we are the branches, and we feed and are strengthened by him. So the anchor holds both ways. And this is the kind of trust that Abraham had to develop in God as well. And the writer of Hebrews in this very same chapter speaks about this in verses 13 to 15. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, "I will surely bless you and give you many descendants." And so, after waiting patiently, perhaps not so patiently, Abraham received what was promised. The writer of Hebrews brings to mind the scene of how the Lord encouraged Abraham to continue on in his faith, to stand firm, to believe. You'll recall that Abraham was called out of paganism to follow the Lord, and he did just that. Followed the Lord, believing the promises of the Lord that he would bless him and make him into a great nation, and that all the peoples around the world would be blessed through him. When he struggled with God's fulfillment of the promise, the Lord gave him assurance that Abraham believed the Lord and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Well, it was a long time before Isaac, the son of promise, was born to Abraham and Sarah. And I'm sure that the gap between the promise and its fulfillment was what was in the writer's mind as the writer of Hebrews is challenging and encouraging, is exhorting the Jewish Christians who had come out of Judaism to remember the example of Abraham. Abraham had to wait in faith for a long time before he began to see the fulfillment of God's promise to him. He was encouraged. And the writer was encouraging these Jewish Christians who are coming out of Judaism to stand firm in their faith, not to go back to Judaism. And for you and I, God is a promise keeper. He keeps his promises. And that's something that we can count on, depend upon. In the Aussie vernacular, you can bet on that. If things appear slow with God for you, it doesn't mean that he's forgotten you or that he's not trustworthy. God is working out his plan in his perfect time. And so the writer says in verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. It's firm and secure. What is this hope? Where is this anchor secured? Well, the writer goes on to tell us, it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has already entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And so our anchor doesn't go down to the ocean below. Our anchor goes up into the glories of heaven and is secured there. Our anchor is secure in the Holy of Holies, in the very presence of God, where Jesus has gone on before us, the forerunner. Our anchor of hope is grounded in the work of Christ, for he has indeed secured our salvation. He's gone on before us to prepare a place that we might be with him forever. And his presence there guarantees our future presence with him. That's why our hope is firm and secure. Jesus said in John 14, 2-3, in my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If that were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so our high priest continues to appeal before the Father on our behalf, and our high priest, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, helps us to live in holiness. John wrote, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Our hope is firmly secured in the work of Christ. He has saved us. He does transform us. And he promises us eternal life. As his children, we long for him to call us home into his glorious harbour. Think about death in that sense. Death is the harbour. This is our sure and secure hope that acts as an anchor for our souls. So in the meantime, as you face the circumstances of your life, as the storms come, and as you are threatened by destruction, where is your hope? We'd like to say, yeah, it's in Christ. But as you're going through these circumstances, these difficulties, these troubles, these stormy seas, where is your hope? Is your hope built on the notion that God will heal you or your loved one? Your hope in Christ is dependent on that. That God will heal you or your loved one? Is your hope built on the restoration of that broken relationship? God, you've got to make this happen. Otherwise, I don't know what's going to happen. It's all going to fall apart. Is your hope built upon the Lord's provision of more finances for you? Is your hope built on God allowing you to have children? That's all that matters for you. Or in turning your wayward child back to the Lord? Is your hope built on your success at uni? All the dreams that you have beyond that? Or in finding a marriage partner? What actually is it that holds the greatest degree of hope for you? Or as you traverse the seas of life, not knowing where you're going and what storms lie ahead, is your hope firmly secured in the work of Christ? Regardless of whatever the world throws at me, I am safe and secure in the Lord. If so, then the storms of life will not faze you, because Jesus Christ is your captain. Notice that John says in these verses, when Christ appears. Not if Christ appears. No, when Christ appears, we shall be like him and we shall see him as he is. Oh, the hope of being in glory with him, no longer affected by nor tempted by sin. To be in his glorious, joyful, peaceful presence forever. With 1,000 generations. I'm going to invite the band to come back up, singers. Hope for me is best described as that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. I trust that that's who Jesus is for you. He is mine. I know him as my Saviour. Blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. As I'm watching and waiting and as I'm looking above, I'm filled with his goodness and I'm lost in his love. I trust that this is where your hope truly lies, in who God is and not what God might do for you. In who God is. Just like Habakkuk, you may rejoice in the Lord and who he is. May your strength be found in the Lord, safe and secure. May you stand firm in him. We're going to stand and sing our closing song. And if you don't have faith in the Lord where you are, safe and secure, and you'd like that, if you'd like to acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, then you might like to see one of us afterwards. We'll pray with you. Let's stand and sing.